but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. Again, 1 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Verses 8 through 16, 1 Kings chapter 17. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word which is a guide that teaches us truth and teaches us to walk in your truth. And thank you for the opportunity for us to read your word daily and to be tutored and guided by your word as we spend time reading and meditating and thinking on your word. Lord, help us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. Help us to grow in our understanding of the joys of being a giver, one who takes that which you've entrusted to us and gives it back to you and uses it for your glory and the building of your kingdom. Empower us to be cheerful givers and faithful givers all the days of our lives. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Grateful to have with us in studio once again, Victory McIntosh. She's co-hosting with us today. It's always a blessing.
Thank you, Pastor Parker.
Victory in studio
with us.
Got to
represent the millennials.
That's right. That's right. I want to remind all of our listeners to keep these important truths in mind. Over 1.2 million babies are aborted every single year in America. And in the midst of this awful tragedy, there's something we as believers can do about it. There's a ministry called Preborn, and Preborn and Urban Family Talk are asking you to partner with us to help those moms choose life by providing free ultrasounds. Well, you may ask the question, what is Preborn Ministry? Well, Preborn works with hundreds of crisis pregnancy centers across the country providing life-saving services such as an ultrasound. The ultrasound allows the mom to hear the baby's heartbeat and to see the precious life that's within her. When that happens, 80% of the moms choose life. These centers provide mothers who choose life just quite a few different helpful gifts: maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. And all these services are provided absolutely free of charge by the pregnancy clinics. The Ministry of Preborn has a passion to save unborn babies from abortion and to see women come to Christ. Preborn centers have counseled thousands of women that are considering abortion. 33,000 babies have been saved, and 69,000 women have heard the gospel, and more than 15,000 have surrendered their lives to Christ. So, what is it that you can do to be a part of this great outreach? Well, your gift of $28, only $28, helps provide a woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides 5 free ultrasound sessions, reaching 5 women with the message of life. And remember this, 100% of your donation will go directly to the pregnancy centers that provide the ultrasounds. If you'd like to be involved, and I hope that every single listener will get involved in this very important outreach, but if you want to be involved, simply call this number, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. Once again, the number 1-877-616-2396, or go online to afr.net and you can donate through either means. Again, it's a privilege to have you listening today. And again, always a blessing to have Victory in studio with us. Victory, thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule to help us co-host today. Today we're looking at a very, very important topic.
Uh-oh.
The topic of the blessings of being a giver. And you know, this is something that every believer in the kingdom of God is called to do, called to be. And so as we share from the Word of God, I want everyone to listen closely, because actually, sadly, often, you know, Victory, when we talk about giving, often sometimes people, they kind of tighten up.
On their wallet, in their purse.
And they think, I'm not sure I want to listen to this, you know. But the reality is that the privilege of being a giver in the kingdom of God is one of the great it's the great opportunities of blessing. Because what believers so often fail to realize is that what God does is He takes what we give to Him, and all He does, He turns around and multiplies it back to us.
Yeah.
And when we really understand the process of giving, it makes all the difference in the world. And so as we start off, I want to share just a foundation from the Word of God about truths from the Word that teach us about giving, and we'll go from there. In the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 8. Again, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38, Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Again, reading that again, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And then looking further in the book of Malachi chapter 3, it talks about tithing. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Verses 8 through 12, Malachi chapter 3. And you know, Victory, it's something to think that, you know, our money is a very personal topic for all of us.
It is. Yes, sir.
And you know, the fact is, people can be easily offended if you ask them more information than they want to tell you about their money. In fact, you know, it's been said that the single most sensitive nerve in the human body is the one that leads from the pocketbook to the heart. And so,
yes,
as believers, we need to know it's a personal topic, but at the same time, it's a way, our giving is a way of worshiping God.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's good. I'm sorry, Pastor.
No,
the reason
ahead.
Why I've been laughing on this topic is because there are some churches that have abused giving. You know, like, I've been to a church service, kid you not, had about 3-4 offerings. It don't take all that. But I love what you said. Giving is a form of worship. It's
right.
A heart issue. When
That's
if you
right.
find yourself clinging when they say, all right, it's time for tithes and offering time, there's a heart issue there.
That's
Why
right.
would you not want to give to our Father as unto the Lord?
Mm-hmm. And you know, the reality is, life is a gift. There's nothing that we have that wasn't given to us by God.
Right.
And all we're doing is giving a portion of what He's given to us. You know, just as you think of the scripture, all things come of you, O Lord, and of your own have we given back to you. We're just giving God back a portion of what He's given to us.
Just 10%.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, actually, of course, we're talking about giving tithes and offerings, but, you know, tithe is 1/10. And, of course, that's 1/10 of a person's gross income. You know, sometimes people say, well, off the net of the gross, do you give? Well, you should ask them the question, do you want to be blessed off the net or the gross?
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, we want the maximum blessing we can get. Well, of course, your gross income is your income. And so that's what a person should base their 10% off. But our giving is, that's just, the tithe is the floor of our giving. It's where we start. But it certainly should not stop, because as we learn what giving is really about, it'll bless us tremendously, because it's important to understand this. In the kingdom of God, the math is different. You know,
right.
in the world, you know, when you give give something away, you think, well, I've lost that. That's gone. But in the kingdom of God, when you give to God, he doesn't just give it back. He multiplies it back.
Yeah.
So you could say that in the world, 10 minus 1 is 9. But in the kingdom of God, 10 minus 1, 1 being the tithe that you give to God, it equals 10 plus. So the fact is you always end up with more than you started with.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people will say, well, you know, sometimes people say, I can't afford to tithe.
Hey.
Well, it's more accurate to say you can't afford not to tithe than to say you can't, because the reality is all God does is he takes the tithe and he turns around and multiplies it back to you. So when you understand the kingdom principles and what's going on, it's foolish to not tithe,
mm-hmm.
because God can do a whole lot more with 9/10 of your income than you and I can do with 10/10 of our income. But it's an act of faith.
And I if I may, Pastor mm-hmm. Parker, I was at a point one time where I was tithing, mm-hmm. but it was in the heart of works. It mm-hmm. wasn't in a heart of worship. There's mm-hmm. a difference. Like, I felt like, oh my gosh, I got to tithe or else something bad is going to happen, or else, you know, or else my bills aren't going to get paid. I really had that mindset when mm-hmm. I went to Rhema Bible Training College. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Like, the mm-hmm. Lord set me free from that. And it wasn't, and I thought about, I don't know how I got, well, I kind of do now that I think about it, but I'm not going to say how. But it was more of a form of works. But when I changed my perspective, and the Lord, it was through the Lord, helped me to realize that this is me worshiping God.
That's
man,
right.
I tell you, I'm not, you get unquenched, you know, and you be honest with the Lord. Like, I told the Lord, Lord, I feel like I'm doing this because I have to, or else I won't get blessed. That's the wrong heart to have, but I was honest with the Lord about it. And the Lord helped me in that process.
And it really is to be an act of worship and an act of letting God know, again, Lord, I thank you for what you've entrusted to me, and I'm giving this back as an act of worship to honor you and to serve you. And of course, and you know, sadly, Jay, to be quite honest, it's controversy for many believers, because there are some believers that believe, well, you don't have to tithe anymore because it's a New Testament.
Oh, yeah,
well,
I've heard
the reality that. Is, again, show me in Scripture where it does not. Now, Jesus affirmed the tithe in the New Testament, but the fact is there are those that feel like, well, in the New Testament, it's not required. Well, again, you go back to what does the Word of God say?
Right.
God's Word doesn't change.
Right.
And so it's important to know that God's Word is a guidebook. And again, the tithe is just the floor of our giving. It's where we start. But it says tithes and offerings. So we're to give not only 10%. So in other words, every believer should give a tithe mm-hmm. plus offerings. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I know so-and-so and here, this older lady, and she's on a fixed income. So maybe we should ask her to tithe. Well, see, again, the reality is that, number one, that's why she should tithe.
Right.
Because, and even when people say, well, so-and-so's on a fixed income, well, who fixed it? The fact is there's no such thing as a fixed income.
Pastor
when
Parker.
You give right. to God, God will he'll unfix it and bless it.
Yes.
So that's why every believer should give tithes and offerings, because remember, it's an opportunity for blessing. It's not subtracting from your income. It's
multiplying.
It's multiplying. So for the question, if someone asks, well, should every believer tithe? Yes, yes, yes. Because remember, all God does is he takes it and he turns around and multiplies
Amen.
It back to you. So we're to give tithes and offerings. But if one asks, well, how much beyond the tithe should you give? Well, again, that's between you and the Lord. But the reality is you can't give too much to God. Again, the word says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you've met, with all it should be measured to you again.
Pastor Mark, you better memorize that scripture.
That's right.
Didn't even look
right.
at the Bible. Can I just say something? I want to add, it irks me when people try to eliminate the Old Testament. Like, yes, I know the New Testament is our new and better covenant, but the new came from the old. So don't eliminate Malachi or any other verses, scripture.
The New Testament fulfills it. God's not asking less. He's expecting more. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. In studio with us is Victory McIntosh. We'll be right back after this break.
Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. One company's employees were absent from the fast food worker-driven fight for a $15 minimum wage. That company? In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out starts their employees at $10.50 an hour and allows them to earn as much as $120,000 annually. That's the highest of any fast food chain in the country. They also provide vision, medical, and dental benefits. Needless to say, they have very low turnover. Merit-based pay always produces a better product, greater service, and more productive employees. Did I mention this is a Christian-based company?
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Recently, I was at my church and came in during the time of children's service. I was so intrigued on the topic at hand, Abba, Father. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Two things stood out to me, adoption and Abba. Adoption means to take someone as your very own. Abba is the Greek word for an intimate form of father, such as daddy. If you ever had a moment where you thought no one wanted you, I am here to remind you that from the beginning of time, Abba Father desired to adopt you into his family. That is why he sent Jesus. He saw you as valuable, significant, and worth dying for. That alone makes you a somebody. For a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Life is never picture perfect. Human beings come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, and abilities. No matter how much we plan, no matter how much we think we're prepared, the unplanned happens all the time. It's how we respond to the unexpected that shows our true humanity. But many do not see the value of every human life. Too many are willing to discard those who don't fit the picture of perfection. Abortion destroys the chance to love and to be loved. We never know what will fill the frames of our lives or how empty those frames can be when we allow exceptions.
Every life is a gift.
Learn more at www.radiance.life.
With Blessed and Broken Given on Urban Family. Welcome back.
All righty. And again, we're joined in studio today with us, Victory McIntosh, here on the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're looking at the topic of the blessings of being a giver. And it's so helpful for us to understand that as believers, again, this is not an area of our life where we should look upon it as being a burden and a drag. In reality, it's a great area of blessing in our lives as we learn to walk in it. Again, when we become faithful givers, we're acting like Jesus, because nobody has given and gives more than God. No one gives more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we learn to be givers, again, we're acting like Christ. And as we looked in Malachi, where it talks specifically about tithes and offerings, keep in mind, again, for any and every listener that asks themselves, well, should every single believer in the world give tithes and offerings to the Lord? Yes, every single believer should. Again, that's the floor of your giving. That's where you begin your giving. It's not where you stop. Again, verse 8 in Malachi 3 says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Now keep in mind, to be blessed means to be empowered to succeed in life. To be cursed means to be empowered to fail. And so when we take that which belongs to God and we use it on ourselves, or use it on whatever we want, then again, sadly, again, it can cause that curse to come up on our financial picture, and you don't want that. So we're wise to simply hear the word of God and obey it, to hear it and do what it says. The Bible tells us, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be givers. Thank you for the fact that your Holy Spirit teaches us to give and empowers us to be givers. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of joy in our giving. Help us to know, Lord, that again, all that we're doing is receiving that which you've so graciously and lovingly given to us, and we're giving it back to you. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege and the blessing of being able to do that. And thank you for the chance and the opportunity to be a vessel of blessing through which you can reach, by which you can reach through us and bless the world through our giving. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing in the world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Victor, I think of a true instance where this man shared a story where he once was in a fast food restaurant. He and a friend of his were talking, and his little boy was sitting next to him, and he bought him some French fries, and they were just having a conversation. And while he was conversing with his friend, he reached over to get one of his son's French fries. And much to his surprise, the little boy pulled the fries back and said, these are mine. Wouldn't let dad get any of the French fries.
And he the one who bought them.
That's right. That's right. And, of course, that's really a powerful illustration of the way God is. Now, understand, keep in mind, in the truest sense of the word, God doesn't need our money. We can't put a dent in God's bank account, you know. When he blesses us with something, God is just overflowing, obviously, still. But the fact is, God is looking for ways to bless his children. And one of the ways whereby he seeks to bless us is as we simply learn to be generous in our giving.
Right.
When we give, God says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you've met, with all it shall be measured to you again. The key to remember is when we become givers, God takes responsibility for refilling our storage bin. Mm. However, when we choose to not be givers, when we don't give tithes and offerings to the Lord, when we don't give of that which God has entrusted to us, basically it's like saying, God, keep your hands off my storage bin. I will take care of it myself.
That's scary.
And that's a foolish thing to do, because right. Nobody can refill our storage bin in life like God can.
Mm-hmm.
But when we try to take care of ourselves, we come up far, far short of what we certainly would want.
Man, I'm telling you.
So we're called to be givers. But remember, our giving is not just about us. Our giving is about the building of God's kingdom, because God wants to bless. He wants to bless us, but he wants to bless through us. And so we're called to be givers. And you had a question?
Well, I was going to say, would you say that there can be two extremes, too, like of giving? There's the extreme of those who don't give, mm-hmm. and then there's the extreme of those who give and they boast about their giving. And, you know, the Bible speaks about that. I know of a man, every time he gave $1,000 or whatever amount, he always had to broadcast it. And I'll be like, oh, my gosh, this dude is annoying me. Like, and then it made me wonder, okay, is his heart. You know what I'm saying? Because God knows our heart. Because it's in Matthew chapter 6 where it tells us to not boast about our giving. And I'm mm-hmm. sure it's probably in Proverbs too. I just haven't found a verse yet. But we do mm-hmm. need to get to the point where we give and not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Just give.
That's right.
Why does everybody named Mama got to know that you gave this amount to this organization? You know?
And like you alluded to, Christ points out that people that do that, they have their reward already. Whatever glory they think they get from announcing it, because they miss the opportunity to be blessed because they're bragging about the giving. So,
right.
You know, I don't know if I'd even call that an extreme. It's a foolish and a wrong thing to do, you know.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
As believers, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. Now, I would say, on the other hand, there are instances and times where sometimes it's wise to share a testimony.
There you go.
To teach others the blessings of giving, because, again, if we don't tell how God has blessed us in our giving, how will they know? How will others know? So there's a place and time to give. And sometimes, in fact, people, sometimes they, in their mind, they're being humble. But sometimes people miss the opportunity to be blessed because they don't share testimonies.
True.
Because people
true.
Sometimes will think, well, I don't want to brag. Well, yes, but we need
check
the wisdom
motives.
Of God. Yeah, the motives, that's the key. The wisdom of God, because there are clearly times in which we should share how God has used us and blessed us, not for our glory, but for the building of the kingdom of God.
But what about if it's a habit? Like this man that I'm thinking about, this brother almost every month. It seems like every Sunday. It's not at my church now, but I'm just saying.
I think the key is
that's
what's in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's in his heart. Because,
yes,
again, there's a time in which clearly, in many instances, where we don't need to tell anybody.
Right,
but
right.
there are times in which sometimes others will be blessed by hearing the testimony of how God is using us and working through us. And so it just depends, because, again, there are times in which we do need to share what God is doing, because it's never about us. It's
right.
about the kingdom of God and how God uses it, too.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Again, for the question, should everybody get tithes and offerings to the Lord? Absolutely every believer should.
Right.
But remember, again, it's not about us. It's about the building of God's kingdom. And the sad reality is, I've heard it said that less than 8% of believers pay tithes to
what?
God. A very small percentage. And what is sad is,
8%.
It's easy to find believers yeah. that make excuses why.
Yeah.
Lots of people will say, well, you know, the New Testament doesn't say you got to pay tithes, or all kinds of reasons. Well, I don't make enough money, or that's for this kind of person, or that's for a person in this income bracket, all kind of excuses.
Mm-hmm.
But the sad reality is, we miss out on our own blessing, because remember, in our giving, in the kingdom of God, the math is different. It always leads, again, when we give to God, God multiplies. He doesn't just add back, he multiplies back. So we always end up better off when we give to God. And so the fact is, we shouldn't just give, in other words, we should seek to become generous givers, because, again, it's not about us, but it allows more of God's work to get done. The more generous we become in the kingdom of God, the more God's work can get done. And the fact is, in the Malachi 3, it says that there may be food in my house. In other words, so that the church and the people of God have what is needed to get the work of the God,
right.
the sharing of the gospel and the work of the church done. And so giving is one of the ways whereby the work of God is financed. So you see, tithes and offerings is God's system. You know, like the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt finance the church with chicken dinners and fried chicken, you know, and fish fries and that sort of thing. We're supposed to give tithes and offerings. That's God's system,
mm-hmm.
and God's system works. It works.
Mm,
and so as believers, we're called to be givers, and we're to be cheerful givers as well. So every believer should tithe, and it will bless your income. Because, again, in the kingdom of God, as I said before, in the world, 10 minus 1 is 9. But in the kingdom of God, 10 minus 1, 1 being the tithe, you will end up with 10 plus 100% of the time. There's no risk in tithing, none whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
because God himself guarantees it. So he will always not just give back, he will multiply back. So anybody is always better off, and you always better your financial picture by being a faithful tither, no matter who you might be.
And if I may add, Pastor Parker, you know, I think a lot of times when people think of giving, they instantly, I know right now we're talking about financially, but mm-hmm. also we need to give in our time in
That's
church,
right.
in ministering, giving our time of loving on someone, giving them an encouraging word, like they're giving grace to somebody who may have crossed you the wrong way, you know what I mean?
That's
so,
right.
So we need to look at all those aspects as well, and the Lord will bless us for that.
And it's the nature of Christ to be a giver. In fact, the Bible
Period.
Speaks of Jesus went around being a blessing. And that's what we're called to do. Yes, certainly to give of our finances, but of our time, our energy, and also material things too. And, you know, the fact is, we live in a world that is so materialistic in so, so many ways. You know, many times the attitude, the slogans, and the perspectives of the world are so, so selfish, you know. sayings like get all you can all you get and sit on the can and take care of number one and step on anyone you have to get to the top again. And the fact is those are the attitudes of the world. And the fact is that's so different from the church, whereas Christ calls us to be givers. For God so loved the world that he gave. Genuine love gives. Mm-hmm. Genuine love gives. And so when you love someone in some way or another, you're going to be giving of yourself to be a blessing to that person.
Amen. Amen.
Now, in the book of 1 Kings, the chapter that we read at the beginning of the broadcast, it's the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Powerful story with some powerful truths to learn from. There, again, chapter 17, 1 Kings 17, verse 8, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So God sends the great prophet Elijah to Zarephath, and notice he sends him there for a widow to take care of him. Now, keep in mind, this was probably pretty humbling of Elijah, because typically the world would say, well, Elijah, take 3 bags of groceries to this widow woman and help her out. God doesn't tell him to do that. He tells him, go there. I've commanded a widow to provide for you. Well, by the grace of God, Elijah obeyed God, which was a good thing. Well, when he arrives there, he finds a widow there gathering sticks, asks for water. Well, apparently their water was available, so she went to get it. But then he asks her for some food as well, basically, bring me a biscuit. And her response is, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And you know, Victory, there's so many important truths behind this passage, because the world system leads to death. It doesn't work. It doesn't ultimately bless financially. In fact, the world systems ultimately lead to endings that, you know, to basically consequences that lead to death. On the other hand, so her goal was, we're going to eat one more meal and we're going to die. Mm. Well, that's not a very hopeful future. But Elijah gives her the word of God and the wisdom of the word of God. Elijah tells her, make me a biscuit first and then make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. In other words, put God first. Go and give to God first, and then fix for yourself and your son and watch what God will do. Well, of course, this had to be an act of faith on this widow's part, because she could have decided, well, I just don't trust you. I'm just going to eat one last meal and we're going to die. Well, remember this. God's plan is always better than the world's plan, 100% of the time. Well, she decided to trust the word of God that came through the lips of Elijah. She went and made him a cake first, gave it to Elijah, and then went back to the flour bin. There was more flour. Went back to the oil jar, and there was more oil as well. And each time she went back, just every day, time and time again, there would be more flour and more oil. God supernaturally multiplied the flour and the oil.
My God.
Well, the fact is, that happens today, just like it happened back
then.
That's my
Jesus.
When we trust God, when we learn to trust God. But the key is putting God first. That's why when it comes to giving tithes and offerings, when a person gets their paycheck, for example, the first check they should write should be their tithe check.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't say, well, let me pay the light bill, let me pay my phone bill, let me pay my car note, let me pay my house note, and I'll see if I have anything left to give to Jesus.
Right.
Doesn't work that way.
Lord, forgive us.
We need to put God first, because it's an act of worship.
Right.
And it's an act of faith. We've got to learn to trust God. And we'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic of the blessing of being a giver. We'll be right back.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s.
Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. We tackle news, current events, cultural trends, and phenomenons from a Christian worldview perspective. Why? Because we're looking for insights into culture that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
Hi, this is Kirk Cameron, and I am honored to be partnering with the Ministry of Preborn and American Family Radio to help moms choose life.
Actor Kirk Cameron supports Preborn.
My four oldest children were adopted. That is because of caring and compassionate people who help those young mothers choose life. My wife is an adopted child, and her birth mother chose life for her. If it weren't for those caring individuals that help those young moms value the sacredness of life, I wouldn't have my wife, I wouldn't have my four adopted children, and the two natural born children that we have wouldn't exist either. My whole family is here because of people that are involved with ministries like Preborn.
Help moms choose life with Preborn. Your gift of $140 provides 5 ultrasounds and could save 5 babies. You can give now at 877-616-2396 or visit afr.net.
Dr. Tony Evans says God sometimes takes our lives on a detour to teach us lessons that'll prepare us for our destiny. But sometimes it takes us longer than it should to get back on the main road. We'll explore one reason why today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
One of the reasons we stay on a detour we should be off of by now is we keep introducing human wisdom. Once you introduce human wisdom, that is man's way that contradicts God's way, once you introduce human wisdom, you have cut off God's way. I told you before, you know, I don't like apples. Apples are not my favorite fruit. I'm an orange kind of guy. So I don't like apples except at the Texas State Fair. I love them apples. Because them are candy apples at the Texas State Fair. But my doctor told me that once you eat a candy apple, you have canceled out the benefit of the apple. The nutritional benefit of the apple is going to be canceled out by the liquid sugar that you dip the apple in. See, folk come to church for spiritual nutrition, then they go out on Monday and dip it in human opinion. They go dip it in what I think, what my neighbor think, what my mama think, what the media thinks, what the culture thinks, what the television thinks, what the radio thinks. We keep dipping it in human wisdom and wonder why we're not getting any better. Because God says human wisdom will cancel out the word of God. He says you nullify the word of God by the traditions of men. You cancel it out so that the Bible does not work, will not work, cannot work, because you keep dipping it even though you go to church for the nutrition.
You can read hundreds of Dr. Evans' best stories in Tony Evans' Book of Illustrations. Check into getting a copy today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Fred Hammond, the song I Owe It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We have with us in studio today as our co-host, Victory McIntosh. I want to remind all of our listeners that I want you to keep this in mind throughout this week here at Urban. We'll be addressing and encouraging you to be supportive of a great ministry called Preborn. Over 1.2 million babies are aborted in America on average every single year, tragically. And in the midst of this awful tragedy, there's something we as believers can do about it. There's a ministry called Preborn and Urban Family Talk. We're together asking you to partner to help help moms in crisis and reach out to them. Again, we want to help moms choose life by providing free ultrasounds to those moms. So what is Preborn Ministry? Well, again, Preborn works with hundreds of Christian pregnancy centers across the country providing life-saving services such as ultrasounds. The ultrasound allows the mom to hear her baby's heartbeat and to see the precious life that's inside of her. And when that happens, typically on average, 80% of the moms who see an ultrasound of their baby choose life. These centers provide mothers who choose life just a number of very helpful tools and things, gifts that will bless them. Maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. All these services are provided to these precious moms for free. Preborn has a passion to save unborn babies from abortion and to see women come to Christ. So they share the gospel as a part of their outreach and just a consistent part of what they do. Preborn centers have counseled thousands of women considering abortion. Through the work they've done, 33,000 babies have been saved. 69,000 women have heard the gospel, and more than 15,000 women have surrendered their life, have given their lives to Jesus Christ. How can you be involved? Well, the question again, it's a good question, and again, all of us can get involved. Your gift of $28, just $28, can help provide one woman seeking an abortion with a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. And 100% of your donations, that which you give, will go directly to pregnancy centers providing the ultrasounds. To get involved, simply call 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate at AFR.net. Again, that's at AFR.net. Hope you'll get involved. Again, today we're looking at the topic of the blessings of being a giver. And keep in mind, again, when we're functioning and carrying ourselves as givers, we're acting like Jesus. Jesus went around doing good. He went around just being a blessing to the world. And when we live the life of a giver, blessing people, giving of our money, but our time, our energy, and as Victory pointed out, there are lots of other things we can give besides money to bless people around us. We're acting like Jesus, and that's an important truth to remember.
Amen. I have a question, Pastor Parker.
Okay.
Okay, so Holy Ghost, bring it back to me. This ain't nothing but the devil. Like, I literally have the question. You ever had that to happen?
It'll come back.
I'm too young for this. What's going on?
But let me share this while you're thinking about what it is. You know, like, you know, again, going back to the story we're looking at in 1 Kings, it's a story about putting God first. She had to decide whether she was going to give to Elijah first or just fix the meal for herself and her son. She chose to put God first. And of course, by giving to Elijah, she was thus putting God first. And so she fixed a biscuit for Elijah and then went to fix for herself and her son, and there was more left. And when she went back, each time she went back throughout the famine, God had put, he'd supernaturally put more flour and oil in the bin so that she was able to provide food for Elijah and for herself and her son throughout that whole time. Again, giving to God first is very important. Now, keep in mind, the world sees this very differently. The world would have said, no, Elijah, the widow doesn't have anything to give. Help her out. Give her something. But God's challenge to the widow was, you give. Well, see, God's challenge to every believer is to give first. In other words, whether you're poor or rich, the answer is give to God. No matter what your financial situation, God is teaching us to be givers. Give tithes and offerings to God. And that's the way, that's how you get on the road for God to begin to bless and help you more and more financially, putting God first.
Amen.
I think of this, the story of a little boy. His mom had given him two quarters, and this was back when you can get ice cream for a quarter. He had two quarters, and she told him, put one quarter in Sunday school and use a quarter to get yourself an ice cream cone. Well, he's walking down the street, and he's flipping them up. One of the quarters, he drops it, and it rolls down the street and rolls into the gutter.
Aww.
And he says, uh-oh, Lord, there goes your quarter.
He wasn't about to let his ice cream quarter be the one that went down the gutter. And sadly, that's the way a lot of people are. In other words, the first thing to go is the giving to God. But we should decide that we're, no matter what, we're going to put God first, because that's where our blessing is found, putting the Lord first.
I remembered my question.
Okay, go right ahead.
The devil is a jerk. All right, so how do you feel about loaning people money? I heard an individual say once, he said, don't loan, just give it. And I've kind of gotten to that point too, you know, and then... But yeah, how do you feel about that? Like, or what if they are using you? Should you just still see it as I'm still blessing that person, even though they're using me? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, that's a huge and a very broad question, because it really depends on many different factors. And sometimes you have people that may not have it to loan.
True.
But God does call us to be givers. Now, we're to give with wisdom, but he does call us to be givers. And when you're in a position where you can be of help to other people, we're called to bless people.
Right.
We do have to use wisdom, though, because there are times which, for example, if somebody, say a panhandler comes up and they look like they may be a drug addict, they say, hey, give me $5, I'm hungry. Well, sometimes you may just realize that giving them money may not be in their best interest.
Right.
So a lot depends on the specific situation, but we're called to be a blessing. So we're to be looking for opportunities to reach out and be a blessing to people. And, you know, as you touched on earlier in the broadcast too, we have much more to give beyond just money. And we as believers should learn to live a lifestyle of giving, because, again, when you give something to bless someone, whether they're saved or not, a normal reaction is, in response, they say, thank you, God bless you. Well, see, when we give to people, it makes them think about the goodness of God and the grace of God. And that's one of the reasons why we should be givers. And that's also part of why, in the sharing of the gospel, we should be prepared to reach out to meet the physical needs of people as well, because if we just say we want to share the gospel, but they're hungry, or they need a need of clothing or a need of shelter, well, again, that's not an adequate way to share the gospel, because God is not just concerned about, yes, he definitely wants us saved, and that's our biggest need.
Right.
But God comes as Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Jesus.
Jehovah Rapha, our healer, the God, El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough to meet the needs of people. So we should be persons that are wanting to give of ourselves. And, you know, we really do have a lot to give. You know, we live in a world where, for example, your average family has enough things in their house to stock a store.
Seriously.
Clothing, shoes, extra things. We should look for ways to give. And like, for example, I just this past weekend heard a gentleman say that he and his wife have decided that when they buy a new item of clothing, they're going to give one away to somebody else too. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that.
All right, minimalist.
Because, yeah, but at the same time, we're blessing other people. Now, of course, you know, you want to give people things that are good. You don't give away something that you're going to obviously throw away.
Yeah.
Something that's good. But the fact is, typically, many times we have so much stuff in our house that for some people, again, they need to get rid of some of the things that they have. And we should learn to be givers, because there's somebody in your community who probably desperately needs something you have sitting up collecting dust in your closet or in your...
Ooh, old antiques. Mm-hmm. This was my great-great-grandmother. My question is, when you gonna use it? That's how I am about my parents. My mother, she was telling me, it's because you're young. When you get older, you realize. I said, no, I do see, you know, the significance. It was my great-grandmother's, but if you're not using it and there's somebody that can use it, am I right?
That's right.
Maybe it's the minimalist in me. I don't know.
But it's the scriptural principle is true. Give and it shall be given to you. Again, if you give, and remember, it's important to know, too, we're to give with a very important point in mind. We're not to give to raise our standard of living. We're to give to raise our standard of giving.
Right,
it enables us to give more. When we give generously to bless other people, God multiplies where we're able to give even more. It's not about trying to become a rich fat cat. It's about learning to become a giver who will be even more blessed because God has multiplied back, so you can become an even greater blessing to the people around us. It's about the building of the kingdom of God and blessing and helping people. And so many times what we should do is prayerfully say, Lord, show me the things I can give away to bless other people in my home. And many times we can go in our closet and clean out our closets and give some good things away to bless people, because, again, it's important to be a giver. And what is sad is, it sometimes seems humorous, but it's more sad than is humorous, you know, because when you start to think, well, I'm going to go in my closet and give some of these things away, and then you look at one item, well, you know, I'm going to lose 10 pounds to get back in that suit, to get back in that dress. Or I might need these shoes for an occasion next year. Or I might, and come up with all kinds of excuses to keep.
Yeah.
But the reality is somebody might be able to use it today if I give it away. And some things literally we haven't used for 2 or 3 years and don't know when we're going
to
use
That's what I do for myself. If I haven't worn it in a year, it's time to give it away. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to add this too, Pastor Parker, also because we're going to give an account to everything that we do. You also need to give unto ministries that, like Urban Family Talk. Like, mm-hmm. And they didn't tell us to do this, but, you know, ministries are organizations that you know are being a blessing to the world.
Just like we're talking about preborn.
Yes, sir.
Giving to a ministry like that is doing God's work.
Yeah, because God will bless us for that.
Mm-hmm. And we're called to be givers. And the fact is, we really do have a lot to give.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, if we listen to the devil will say, well, you know, you're poor. You better hang on to what you've got because you don't have anything. You know, it's not hard to find people that are middle class that make a good income that when you ask them about giving, their response is, I don't have anything, and which is a real lie.
Right.
But the fact is, that's a normal response, you know, mm-hmm. to people to say, well, I don't have anything. No. If we know Jesus Christ, we're actually rich in the truest sense of the word. But again, we have things to give. And I'm reminded of an instance where there was a missionary who knew a particular little boy in a very poor country. And he had a need for clothing. And he bought him two brand new shirts. And soon after he'd given them the two shirts, he noticed that some other little boy had one of the shirts. And he said, hey, Johnny, I gave those shirts to you. And he said, but you gave me two. In other words, in his mind, if I have more than one, I can give one away.
Wow.
Well, see, what a tremendous truth to really recognize. When I have something to give, I'm going to look for somebody to bless them with it mm-hmm. because you can only wear one pair of shoes at a time anyway. You can only wear one shirt or item, you know. So right, it's important to know we're called to be givers, and some of the greatest joys in life come from our giving.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a great need for us to learn to be givers because there's somebody right now that desperately needs some things that are sitting in our house doing nothing. And we should prayerfully say, Lord, help me to be a blessing to people. Sometimes we should get them and take them to a ministry like Salvation Army or a ministry that helps people in need because it makes kingdom fuel out of it.
Right, right.
Something Amen. That's doing nothing and you turn it into something that produces for the kingdom of God mm-hmm. because you are wise enough to understand we're supposed to be givers.
Amen.
So our time is about gone, Victory. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Pastor Parker.
Father, thank you for every person listening. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of giving. Help us to know, Lord, you've called us to be givers and you empower to be givers. You've blessed us to be givers. Help us to know that as we seek to be givers, we're acting more and more like Jesus and you'll use this for your glory. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to The Hour of Intercession. Again, our co-host has been Victory McIntosh. Thank you for listening. Join us again next time for The Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.